Well, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. Good to have you here on this Sunday, our second service. Had a great service, the first service, and we'll look forward to some other folks coming later. But we are so glad that you are here now. We're beginning, or actually continuing, our brand new series entitled Give Me One. And I'll get into that in just a minute this morning. You know, I'm not sure how this is going to go this morning. As a matter of fact, I called Arlene and I asked her to help me with this. First service before church started, I was in the back there and one person came up to me and they said, "Pastor," said, "you look like an Easter egg today." I said, "Do you mean my shirt or my shape? You know, which was yes." It's so funny. I said that first service in, and two people actually texted me messages between services, and one person said, "Pastor, I love that shirt. It looks totally awesome." And then another person texted me and said, "You know, you do kind of look like a..." So whichever you think this morning, that's all good. I did ask Arlene to bring me another shirt, and I haven't seen her yet. I'm not sure if she did. Maybe I'll change for... Third service. Hey, here we are. Give me one. And here's the prayer that I've encouraged you to pray. All right? Lord Jesus, give me one person I can influence with your love. I encouraged you last week this prayer. Lord, give me one person I can influence with your love. That is a challenge and a beautiful opportunity. And I hope that that's a prayer that you're beginning to pray, because that prayer will not only change someone else's eternity, it'll change you as well. If you remember last week, we started by talking about how it's important that we allow God to use our powerful testimony. Remember that? And we talked about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Here was the passage that we looked at. She had this encounter with Jesus. And then she went back to her home, and it says that many of the Samaritans, many of the people that she lived with and around, neighbors and friends and acquaintances, many Samaritans in that town believed in him because of what? Because of her powerful testimony. So I encouraged you last week to allow God to use your story to impact the lives of other people. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week was how important it was to listen to Jesus. And I want to take that and build on that as we continue today with this question, okay? When you hear, what do you hear? Or maybe a better question is when you hear, do you hear? Or maybe even a better question is when you hear, not what do you hear or do you hear, but how is what you hear going to change your life? See, every Sunday morning, and some of y'all probably know this, every Sunday morning when I get up and I get ready and I start to church, I turn my radio on in my car, and I always have Sirius radio on. I'm listening to one of my stations, and I always make sure I'm listening to the message. And every Sunday morning, whatever song is playing, when I get ready to come to church, I snap a picture of it, and I put it up on the church Facebook page with an encouragement to come. And this was the one I actually did today. Don't you love this song? You know, by Third Day Trust in Jesus. Man, if I could sing like Mac Powell, I would just blare it out for you right now, but I can't, so I won't. But it was really interesting, because talking about listening to God this morning, and after I heard this song, the DJ, the person on the radio, after the song was finished, he said this. He said, "Man, I just heard the Lord speaking to me." He said, "What do you do when the music is over? What do you do when the song is finished? What do you do after God speaks to you? I mean, does it make a difference? Does it change your life?" Because listen, folks, the Bible tells us, it encourages us, that we are not only to be hearers, but that we are to be doers as well. Doers, and to be used of God in this way. Now, when you hear this question, and when you think about that, there's this wonderful passage at the end of our text last week in verse 42 of John 4. And it says, "Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Think about this. The woman at the well has this encounter with Jesus. She hears Him. She listens to Him. She goes back to her home. She allows God to use her powerful testimony to tell others. They are encouraged to come and get interested in God, interested in Jesus. They come and they hear Jesus. And then it says, "We have heard for ourselves." You see, this continuation of the message, we've got to get people interested in the Word of God and get them in a position where they can hear God speaking to them. Now, if you think about this question for a minute and what it means to listen. You know, here's the funny thing. You know, some of you right now are listening. I appreciated Brother Kevin and his communion meditation. I even told him after he did that last service, I said, "You know, Kevin, I really appreciate you. And one of the reasons is as a pastor, I could tell that you listen." Right? I mean, he shared some things from the message last week. You know, that just does a pastor's heart good. But you know what? Not all of you are doing that very well right now. I mean, some of us here this morning, we've checked out. We're somewhere else. We're not listening very good. And folks, we have to make sure that when we have the opportunity to be in the presence of God, that we take that opportunity very seriously. Now, I know that from our tradition, you know, an evangelical fundamental church, you know, we're part of the independent Christian movement. When you talk about hearing God speak to you, a lot of times people get nervous about that. You know, if you were in a Pentecostal church or something, you know, they kind of celebrate that. But in our movement, you know, some people look very, you know, they kind of suspect about that. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So we can hear Jesus, hear God speak to us. Matter of fact, let me give you an example of this. It's so you know, do we listen? You know, how deep does it go? You know, I've always told couples, you know, when you're talking about in marriage counseling and things, you always say that communication is so important, but communication is so much more than words. You know, communication is so much more than words. And hearing from God is so much more than sitting where you're sitting this morning or even standing where I am right now. It goes much deeper than that. Let me show you how deep that goes. If you take a look at John chapter 10, there's a beautiful story. And it's a story about the shepherd and about his sheep and about how in tune those sheep are to the shepherd. He says there in John chapter 10, I don't have it up here on the screen. It's an extended passage. But let me share with you a little bit of what it says. It says in verse 2, it says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." Isn't that amazing? The sheep listen to his voice. "He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." How familiar are you with the voice of Jesus, with the voice of God? You know, not too long ago, I was actually, I was somewhere, and I saw this herd. You know, I guess you could call it that. There were like seven or eight donkeys, and they were in the wild, and they were just gathered up there. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, I want to get a picture of these donkeys. So you know, I'm trying to get close. I don't know how you do. You know how to do that? I'm like, I think I embarrassed Arlene because I'm like, "Here, donkey, here." You know, what do you do? How do you call a donkey? And the closer I would get, they would just kind of back up. And then they would get a look, and I would try to get closer, and they would back up. And I couldn't get close enough to take the picture that I wanted. But there was a guy there that they weren't his donkeys. The donkeys didn't belong to anybody. They were wild. But he lived in that area, and he said, "Here, I'll help you." And he came over, and he said something, and these donkeys just kind of gathered around him. And then I was able to get close to him, which enabled me to get close to the donkeys. But they had a familiarity with him that they did not have with me. And you see, folks, there are some of you here this morning, you have a familiarity with God. You know him as your shepherd and as your friend, and you recognize his voice. But some of you question that, and you should. Some of you are wondering, you know, it's amazing because he says here that the shepherd speaks and the sheep know his voice. But yet the Bible tells us that the devil will trick us, that the devil will deceive us, that he's a deceiver, that he's a liar. And there's sometimes that we fall for his deception and that we believe his lies. It even says that the devil can masquerade as one thing when in reality he's another. You see, here he says that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice and they know that it's him, but yet there's a lot of people, they don't recognize the still, small voice of God. Why? Because they are not familiar enough with it. Matter of fact, it says here in John chapter 10 that he tells them this parable, and then it says Jesus said, "Verily, very truly I tell you," because in verse 6 it says that Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. So he turns around and explains this parable to them. And he says that I am the gate. He who enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. But you see, the Pharisees, they didn't recognize it. Matter of fact, at the end of this story, it says, when Jesus finished, it says that the Pharisees claimed that he was a man possessed by a demon. Verse 21, "Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" the disciples said. So do you recognize the voice of Jesus in your life? Now, let me make a couple points here. The first thing is, have you ever noticed how everybody wants God to listen to them? Everybody wants God to listen to them. God, hear my prayer. God, hear my longing. God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. God, this is what I deserve. Everybody wants God to listen to them. You know, we treat God like we would treat, you know, a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant. Have you ever went to a restaurant and you gave your order and it comes back and it's wrong? You know, have you ever ordered your steak to be done a certain way and it comes back, you know, a different way? Or you order a particular side and they give you something else? Or they give you a totally different order? Have you ever had that happen where they come back you know, it's just not what you ordered? What do you say? Or at least if you don't say it, what do you always think? You always want to say to the waiter or waitress, "Weren't you listening? Couldn't you hear what I was saying?" And a lot of times that's exactly the way we are to God. "God, can't you hear what I'm saying? Don't you hear what I need? Don't you hear what I want?" Everybody wants God to listen to them. But listen, get this. Almost all of the Bible, when God is speaking to his children, to his people, they were listening to him. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about us telling God. It's a whole lot more about us listening to him. God sends the prophets, and the prophets say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, the heavens open up, and they hear the voice of God, and they say, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." What? Listen to him. The Bible is a whole lot more about us hearing from God rather than us telling God what we want, what we need. But you see, we have this mentality that that's what God's like, that's what God's about, that God's this great big vending machine up in the sky, and all we have to do is to push the right button and we get what we want. But it doesn't always work that way. Or it shouldn't. Everyone wants to listen to God. Just think about it. Think about it in our culture today. Do we do more telling God or listening to God? It isn't so much about, hey, God, I know who you are. Who do you want me to be? And then listening for his voice to tell us. It's more about, God, this is who I am, and I know you're gonna accept me just like this. Let's make it more about hearing from God than him listening to us. Now, let me tell you something else. There is a concept that's in the Bible that you don't hear about very much anymore, but I want to introduce it to you today. And that's this idea of sitting at the feet. You know, several times in the Bible it talks about sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, the disciples that they were with Jesus for 3 years, and he took them up on a mountain and they sat down and he taught them, or he got in a boat and they were on the shore and he taught them. There's all kinds of inferences about that in the Bible, and we don't do that anymore. When we're talking about being in the presence of God, it's usually wanting us to do the talking. But what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. What is a rabbi? A rabbi is a teacher. Jesus is our rabbi. We are the disciples. We are sitting at his feet learning from him. You know, my son-in-law, and most of you have met Nathan. Nathan is studying in London right now. He's halfway through getting his PhD over there. And a couple of few years ago when he was looking at doing this, you know, he shared with me that he has this one professor that he loves. His name's Chris Keith. He's a real great guy. You know, he's written some things and just really good. And Nathan met him, and then Nathan found out that he was in this university in London, and he really wanted to study under him. So he investigated this and found out that this school was going to give one scholarship to American student. And he decided, I'm going to try to get that scholarship. And you know what? I encouraged him outwardly. But inwardly, it's like, dude, they're going to give it to one person. You know, maybe this isn't what you're called to do. Well, you know, he had to write this this paper, and he did it, and he turned it in, and he got it. He was the one person. So he's over there, and he's studying under exactly the people that he wants to study with. You know, Chris Keith and James Crossley, and he mentions all these guys, and you know, it's just a wonderful experience. But here, listen, folks, we need to have this same kind of mentality. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to learn from him. Matter of fact, there's a great passage of scripture in Luke chapter 10 in verse 41. And if you notice that, it's the story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha, in the latter verses here, it says that Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, you know, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. Doesn't that describe a lot of us sometimes? You know, we're in the presence of Jesus, but we're concerned, we're worried, we're just taken up with everything that's going on in life. And Jesus says to her, says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And he says, Martha, you haven't discovered it. Mary has discovered it. And it's not going to be taken away from her. Do you know what the one thing that Mary discovered? If you go back to verse number 39, just before this, it says that her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Now, right after this, when he says, oh, Martha, you're so concerned about all the details. Mary's the one that got it right. She's discovered the one thing that matters. And what is it? The one thing that matters is sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him. Listen, folks, there's no better place. There's no better place than to, than to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn about these kinds of things that are important. At one time in Jesus' ministry, it says that he found himself looking over Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. You know that shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Do you know what he wept about? It says there that Jesus wept. Why? He says because he saw that the people were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep that didn't have a voice of reason, that didn't have a voice of concern, that didn't have their best interest at heart. Because the interesting thing about this whole thing about being a shepherd was with the sheep 24/7. You know, in our day and time, we think about, okay, at the end of the day, they take the sheep into the barn, they take the sheep into the corral, and they close the gate, but in Jesus' day, most of the time what would happen is just the sheep would be collected in this area, maybe a cleft in the rock, maybe a small cave. But you know what the gate was? The gate was actually the shepherd. The shepherd would literally lay down so that anything that was going to attack the sheep would have to come through and over him. And he would literally give up his life to protect the sheep. That's what Jesus is talking about in John, in this passage in John 10. And he wants to be that way with us. And Mary had it right. She sat at his feet. And Jesus wept because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And God wants to be that for us. But here's something else, though, folks. Do you ever understand, or do you know that hearing doesn't just involve your ears? Right? Hearing isn't just about being in a location. It's not just about you watching somebody's mouth move. It's not even just about you hearing the words that are said. I mean, have you ever wondered how in the world can Christians see the plight of the homeless, plight of the downtrodden, the sick, the poor, and not be moved by that? To see the difficulties that so many people encounter in this world and to just walk away with a ho-hum attitude, well, it's not me. You know, to see children that are orphaned or hungry, and to just walk away with an indifferent spirit. You see, hearing doesn't just involve your ears, but it involves your heart all the way down to the soles of your feet. So do we really hear? You know, I said to you earlier that I always tell married couples about communication, about, you know, it's more than just words. I heard one time about a guy that was coming home, and he was late, 1 hour late, and he got home and he came in the front door and his wife was standing there and she had her hands on her hips and she says, "Where have you been?" What? She's angry, right? She's mad. She wished he had called. He's late. You know, I say another guy comes home 1 hour late from work and he walks in and his wife is standing there and she's got her hands up around her face and she says, "Where have you been?" Same words, but she's not mad, she's worried. So I thought something might have happened. Let's say a guy comes home from work, he's an hour late coming in, and when he comes in the front door, he sees his wife, and let's see, how can I say this because we're in church? You know, let's say that she's scantily clad. And she looks at him and says, "Where have you been?" Right? Same words. Three totally different messages. You see, we're here today. We're hearing from God. We've read His Word. We're listening to His Word. We've talked about His Word. We've prayed. We've opened up our hearts to His Spirit. But there's going to be so many different messages received this morning. There's going to be some of us that are going to leave this place this morning and we're going to be indifferent about what we've heard. And my question is, have we really heard? Jesus wants us to hear and to hear His heart, that He is the shepherd. He is our shepherd and we know His voice. Do we really hear that voice? Because if we do, we're not going to be indifferent about what He says to us. Life is going to be more about just us telling Him what we want, what we think, who we are, but we're going to listen to Him and say, God, who do You want me to be? And then strive to change and to become that kind of person. And listen, folks, that's the thing about this prayer. Because if we pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, give me one person that I can influence with Your love. Because if we pray that prayer with sincerity, if we hear God encouraging us to pray that prayer, and if we pray that prayer with sincerity, we will have this desire to do something with it. Not to just hear it, not even just to say it, but to make it real and alive in our life today. You know, recently I met a young man, his name was Rael, and he's from Puerto Rico. And he was there during the terrible hurricane. They got two hurricanes in 10 days. Two Cat 5 hurricanes in 10 days. And I said, Rael, where in the world did you go? He said, where do we go? We're on an island. He said, we couldn't go anywhere. I said, what in the world did you do? He said, well, we got in a room in our home that seemed to be the strongest, most fortified room. He told me that the top floor of his house was literally taken off. It was gone. But he said, in this one small room in the center of their house, he said they had 43 people. 43 people. I said, you have a huge family. He said, well, there was my wife, it was my children, but he said, we had neighbors and friends, and he said, there were even strangers there. Because if you had a room that you thought was going to survive this hurricane, you filled it up with people. Now, he told me that there were 8 people that died over the entire island in those two storms. But literally thousands of lives were saved because of that. I thought the same thing when I was in Africa some years ago. And some of you that made the church trip over there to Zimbabwe with us, you'll remember this. When we would go places, we had, I don't know, 17, 20 or more people just hanging on the back of one or two small pickup trucks. And you almost never, when you passed one of these trucks on the road, you almost never saw one with just a driver. They were always full of people. Because you allowed family and neighbors and friends to join in on that. Listen, folks, one of the most selfish things that we could ever do in the world is to go into eternity knowing that we have salvation in Christ, but that no one else is there because of our witness or because of our testimony. So this prayer is an invitation. An invitation for all of us to be used of God to influence one other person with His love. And who knows what God may be able to do with those seeds that we plant. Jesus said to be doers and not only hearers of the word. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Isn't it amazing that the woman at the well obeyed the Great Commission before it was ever given? And God wants you and I to propagate this message of love and grace and forgiveness to others. But you know what? It has to be a whole lot more about telling people that there is a God that will listen. He is a God that will listen. But I pray that we are a people who listen to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank You, Lord, for this beautiful time to share together, Father, with these wonderful people. God, right now, may this prayer be on our minds, on our hearts. Lord Jesus, give me one person that I can influence with Your love. God, I know in my own heart I've got that one person in my mind, and I'm praying about that one person. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give folks in this room today that same desire to reach out in love and grace and mercy to someone else. And I pray, Lord, that what will happen is exactly what happened in the life of this woman at the well. That because we've experienced Jesus in such a way that He's showed us and told us that He knows everything that there is to know about us. And that we go back to our homes and our neighborhoods, our jobs, and we share with others, Lord, about this great one named Jesus. And then, Lord, may they come. May they come here, may they go other places, but may they come. And through that interest, Lord, and through the testimony of all of us, may people come to faith in You. Not faith, Lord, because of us, but faith, Lord, in spite of us. And I just pray, Father, that we would be a people, that this could happen because we're a people who listen. Who listen, Lord, to You and to Your Spirit speaking to us. And hearing, Lord, may we be doers. And doers, Lord, may we be obedient. And obedient, Father, may it lead to total and complete discipleship in You. May it be so. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.